Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. We're going to talk all about hair loss and women and men. And if you're experiencing hair loss, I just want you to know that you are fully normal. So many people have had hair loss during COVID. There's literally been an epidemic of hair loss. And I truly think that the majority of this has come from stress. Stress is one of the major causes of hair loss. We're going to dive into female causes of hair loss, kind of treatment options, and different patterns of hair growth today in the podcast. I am a big fan of prevention. So by the time you notice your hair thinning or hair fall causing you problems, did you know that you may have already lost 20 to 30% of your hair? 30%, that's a lot. That's a lot, but that's what it takes for you to start seeing scalp show hair fall being excessive or thinning. If the part of your hair is widening, you're finding bald spots, or you're shedding more than about 125 hairs per day, you likely need to see a healthcare professional. Your dermatologist, your internist, see me, just come in and talk about it. It's super common in women to have hair thinning. 50% of women after age 50 have hair thinning. So if you're experiencing this, you're not alone. You don't just go to the hairdresser and put on hair extensions. You do need to look at what is the root cause of the problem and what are your treatment options. So often people don't even get a blood test. They don't know if they're iron deficient, if they have a low thyroid. They don't know what treatment options that they have. Generally, humans should be shedding between 50 to 100 single hairs per day. And this is just part of the natural balance. Some hairs fall out, others grow. And when the balance is interrupted, you have a lot more falling and a lot less growing. That's when you get hair loss. Hair loss is different from just normal shedding of these 50 to 100 hairs per day. And we call it alopecia. The medical term for this hair loss is alopecia. And different types of hair grow all over the body. You can have hair loss in any of these areas. Thinning of your eyebrows, thinning of the hair on the scalp, losing hair on the extremities. It's all known. Your hair follicle goes through a growth cycle. The anagen phase, the catagen phase, and the telogen or resting phase. This anagen growing phase can be anywhere from 1 to 8 years long. The catagen or transition phase where the hair starts to thin and begins its process of dying off and transitioning is 2 to 3 weeks. And the telogen and resting phase is about 2 to 4 months. And 80 to 90% of your hair on your head should be in the anagen growing phase. In this transitional phase, the next step is the follicles shrink, taking about 2 to 3 weeks. And the resting phase at the end of this 2 to 4 months of shrinkage, the hair falls out. Your short hairs, like your eyelashes, arm hair, leg hair, eyebrows, have a very short growth phase, only about a month for lashes and things. But it's crazy that your scalp hair can last 6 or 7 years. That's why you need to deep condition, don't over-treat with hair chemicals and heat. There are different types of hair loss that occur. Three types. Anagen effluvium, caused by medications that poison your growing hair follicle, something like chemotherapy or medicines, drugs, toxic things in your hair environment, hair products. Telogen effluvium is caused by an increased number of follicles reaching that resting phase. And that's the phase where your hair falls out. Stress. Stress definitely causes this. Stress is a fight or flight response. Your body is sensing that the body has the need for survival. It's going to short all processes that take energy, like growing hair, and send all that energy into survival mode from the stress and cortisol levels that you're experiencing. So during COVID, all of us, increased stress, survival mode, increased hair shedding. Then there's androgenic alopecia, female pattern hair loss, which is super common. This is the most common, and the hair is thinning at the crown and the top of the head and often on the sides. So I think so much research has been done on male pattern balding, but more than 50% of women will notice this hair loss. And that is why I want to talk about female pattern hair loss. So about 1/3 of women in the United States have this. That is a lot. It's typically seen in women older than 40. If you've just had a baby, or you had chemo or medications, or you're having hair loss from traction of tight, overly tight ponytails, hairstyles, chemicals, and around menopause and perimenopause when your hormones are fluctuating. So hair loss is not caused by shampooing too much, although you start seeing this hair fall in the drain and then you're wanting to shampoo less. That's not the first thing you should do, because actually, if you shampoo less, the oils on the scalp will build up more testosterone production and kind of retain that DHT, which may be causing thinning. Dandruff is not a cause of hair loss. Stress is a cause of hair loss. If you shave your head, will your hair grow back twice as thick? No, but that's definitely an old wives' tale that I've heard. If you stimulate your scalp with circulatory massaging and standing upside down on your head and putting oils on your hair, will that help? Definitely. Increase in circulation will help you. Brushing your hair 100 strokes a day does not help, but you know, a little bit of that circulatory tickle on the scalp is beneficial. And will you notice hair thinning with extensions or wigs or hats? Yes, you definitely, definitely will. And I think hairstyles is a big one, because you see your stylist in the salon and they keep taping in and clipping in and clamping in extensions. And in their mind, there's no end to that process. In my mind, it makes the root really friable. It fractures the shaft of the hair. It's going to make for more breakage. If at all possible, extensions are not the number one thing you should do. It's definitely beneficial for camouflage, but probably something like a wig or a clip-on might be better. These tight hairstyles, ponytails, braids, and cornrows, these cause traction alopecia, and the damage can be permanent. Some very famous people who have very tight hairstyles have traction alopecia, and you would not even know that they're just basically stuck wearing, you know, headpieces. Vitamin deficiency, rapid weight loss, and restrictive dieting is another cause of hair fall and hair loss. And I think rapid weight loss and starving yourself and eating a vegan diet is a definite thing to talk about. We need protein in our diets. We need to have a certain amount of calories for the body to be able to sustain non-essential functions like hair growth. So rapid weight loss is not good. Definitely, if you're a person who's had extreme stress or shock, you can have temporary weight loss. Going through a divorce, having a baby, having an anemia that's severe or an illness that's severe, extreme emotional stress will give you hair loss. The first step I want everyone to do when they notice thinning is to get a blood test. I check a full blood panel, including your CBC, which is going to check for level of hematocrit, hemoglobin, iron studies looking at your ferritin and your iron stores, TSH, your thyroid hormone level. One of the biggest causes of hair fall in women is low iron stores. So we have heavy periods, we have cysts and fibroids that bleed excessively, we have babies. People give us measly iron pills to take. They're very hard to take. They're very constipating, and I don't think that they do a great job. They're not absorbed, you know, very efficiently to the body. So if you're not making enough red cells for hemoglobin and you're anemic, the last thing your body's going to do is divert iron to those growing hair follicles. It's going to send it all into your bone marrow and your bloodstream. So anemia, I think, is one of the biggest causes of hair loss, and one of the things that's definitely correctable. Some people don't tolerate iron. If you do, take it with vitamin C. Absorbs better that way. If you don't, talk to your doctor. Check your ferritin, check your iron stores, and think about getting an IV iron infusion. It's definitely beneficial. Look at your family history too. If there's a family history of hormone changes as aging occurs, there's definitely male pattern baldness, which starts at the vertex of the scalp, right at the occiput, and then for women it's frontal thinning. And this type of hair loss typically gets worse during menopause. That is definitely the case. So I think one of the best things you can do is get hormone panel included with the blood testing, checking all of the hormones produced by the hypothalamus, and that would include your female fertility hormones, FSH, your follicle stimulating hormone, your levels of testosterone, your levels of estrogen, levels of progesterone. All of those things should definitely be checked. A good internist will know this, but very often people go for an alopecia workup and they don't get this all done, so I think you should check. Diagnose yourself with hair loss. Put a towel on the floor brush your hair, a white towel. Count how many hairs fall on it. If it's more than 125, you definitely want to look at the hairs that fall. Is there a white follicle on the shaft? That's going to be a sign of hair fall where there is excessive telogen happening. Excessive hair loss from the hairs stopping the growth phase and transitioning to their falling out phase. So more than 125 hairs. And we also have you see the dermatologist where sometimes they'll do a hair pull test. They will do a scalp biopsy in certain instances to check for lupus and autoimmune diseases. And I think that is critical, checking even for rare and unusual things like syphilis, Lyme disease, vitamin D levels, vitamin B, B12, zinc, and iron. The sex hormones, of course. Looking at the hair under a microscope sometimes is beneficial to see if you have any fungus infection. One study has shown that using Celsin Blue or Head & Shoulders, one of these anti-dandruff shampoos, is beneficial for improving mild hair fall because we have fungus on the surface of our skin. Candida, normal yeast that grows on the skin surface, on the scalp, you know, it's commensurate, one of the bacteria that's commensurate with normal bacteria of our body. If there's overgrowth of the fungus on the hair follicle, you can have thinning. So using this anti-dandruff type shampoo will certainly help if you use that at least once a week. And then check on the hair products that you're using. Sometimes hair products can be the cause of hair fall. You may want to alter your shampoo and conditioner. Definitely look at products that remove testosterone from the follicles because that is going to be one of the products. That's one of the hormones that causes hair thinning and hair fall. I'm a big fan of my hair kit, which I personally put together during the COVID, during the pandemic days, because I too had lots of stress and lots of hair fall and thinning. And I think that if you see a problem, doing things that are preventative are key. I came up with a hair, skin, and nails vitamin. It has 1,000-fold the concentration of biotin than the ones you buy over the counter. And it has rare minerals that are required for hair growth. So think about taking a hair, skin, and nails vitamin with increased dose of vitamin A, vitamin B, biotin, zinc, and even taking a daily collagen supplement. Many people taking collagen supplementation report improvement in hair growth. Thickness of the nails and skin improves. And I think that this is such an easy, simple step. You should definitely consider using our Internal Radiance as a really great collagen supplement. And we've done a literature review. And in this review, we looked at 19 different studies looking at the benefit of using collagen in your daily diet if external collagen supplementation works. I always hear people criticizing taking collagen supplements because yes, these products do have to go through your stomach, through your digestive tract, and somehow get into the bloodstream and then into the skin or the hair or the nails. And is that possible? Yes, it is. When there's 12.5 grams or more of collagen peptides, there is the ability for these peptides to spill over the digestive tract and enter the bloodstream and improve the environment where hair grows, where skin turns over. When your body senses these collagen peptides, they're basically interpreted as breakdown products of skin, as if your skin is breaking down into the building blocks that it's composed of, as if there's an injury or a destructive process occurring. And that presence of those biopeptides then stimulates production of new collagen, neocollagenesis, as well as new circulatory efforts and new improvements of the skin surrounding network and follicle support of the hair and scalp. So I'm a big fan. And a multi-analysis of 19 different studies in PubMed has shown not only benefits for hair, skin, and nails, but even benefits for the femur bone, the hip bone, and women taking these daily supplements with collagen supplementation for 6 months or more. How amazing is that, that you can grow stronger hip bones and more stability? These are things we're all going to have to deal with as we age and we get osteoporosis changes. It's not just about beauty, it's also about maintaining the skeleton and building, keeping the framework strong and putting maintenance into our bodies, which are our vehicles for doing well. I recommend trying my hair growth kit to reduce hair fallout. This is not a commercial for my hair growth kit. There's so many hair products out there, but I definitely want you guys to rely on a product that uses science. There's a serum that reduces the production of DHT. That's the hormone that causes a factor in your hair loss. There's biochanin A, which is a wonderful peptide, which increases hair follicle strength, reducing the thinning, the brittle nature, and the fallout. So lots of things that you can do. I'm a big fan of platelet-rich plasma. Platelet-rich plasma is that treatment that we draw your blood, spin down the serum, harvest the platelet-rich layer, which has stem cell growth factors and PRP. This is injected directly into the scalp. In 2 to 3 sessions, you will notice improvement with some thickness and return of about 15 to 20% of hair follicle thickness. I'm a big fan of microneedling and treating the scalp with PRP in addition to even treating the actual skin of the face. It's a beautiful treatment. If you have the ability to do that, you should. Try minoxidil. Minoxidil is not a new drug. It's been out since the 70s or 80s. And this is a scalp solution that you can apply twice a day, anywhere your scalp is thinning. It's made for men or women. The women's strength is half what the men's strength is. And it can cause a little bit of hair growth in the wrong places, like cheeks or, you know, under your chin. But the benefit of it is easy to try. It does take 4 months for Rogaine to increase your hair density and growth. And then if you stop using it, unfortunately, the hair that you've grown can shed, but it is a really effective treatment. Some people have really nice replacement of hair thinning with men's or women's minoxidil. Antiandrogens are hormones you can take. For example, if you're having symptoms of polycystic ovaries and you're diagnosed with that on your blood testing, you can talk to your OB-GYN doctor. Spironolactone is often used for hair thinning. If you're after childbearing age and you're a woman, certainly you can always try a dose of Propecia, which is meant for men. However, when you divide the pills into smaller milligram doses, your primary doctor or your internist can help you with this, but Propecia does block testosterone production for the scalp and improves quite nicely, even for women, some of the hair fall issues. Iron supplementation we talked about, so important. And then don't forget hair transplant. I think people often want to cover up the problem, but hair transplantation has blossomed into this most amazing thing. You really do not have much downtime. 1 day procedure, you do have to sit there for 5 or 6 hours as they harvest a strip of hair scalp. They take hair-bearing scalp from the back of the head often, where it's hidden, and it's painless. It's a long procedure, but they now are using microfollicle implantation to create a really soft and natural looking hairline. Hair transplant is done for eyebrow loss, eyelash loss, definitely the scalp. This is such a great treatment if you know that you're thinning now and you are wanting and looking for a thicker head of hair, definitely think of hair transplantation. So that's a quick review on hair loss. My main message is it can be preventable. It should be researched in depth with a full medical evaluation. And we want to definitely look for any illnesses that cause hair loss. That's number one, to scan for that. And come and see us, because there's things we can do with platelet-rich plasma, scalp injections, and red light laser. Don't forget, red light laser is a wonderful treatment for hair loss as well. That's it for now, guys. I hope you learned so much. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, doing amazing things with people's faces. And check out our website. It's www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our amazing skin care. And don't forget to check out the hair kit. It comes with the hair serum, the shampoo, the conditioner. It removes DHT from the scalp. You'll see results in 4 months. 4 months is the hair growth cycle. So anything that's going to work takes 4 months to show its results. And check me out on TikTok as well at Beauty by Dr. K. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.